So when you're talking about the process of starting your own business, so what all did it take? You mentioned, you know, the licenses.
Sorry, that's my diet. Sorry, I need a diet.
Like, that wasn't going to come through, Tiffany.
This is what makes our podcast exciting, is that...
Diet Coke.
Open your Diet Coke before we start.
All right, so welcome to today's episode. We are sitting down with Edgar and Denise Mejia from New Air. So thank you so much for being here.
Super excited. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, anytime. So we want to learn a little bit more about your company and how you got where you are, but let's get a little info from you personally for our listeners.
So tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, kind of how you guys met. You can go through all of that.
Oh, wow. All right. So we met originally in high school. I don't even know how many years ago that is now, but we dated for a hot minute and then kind of both went our separate ways and eventually reconnected 12 years ago? I don't know how many we're at now. But so originally I'm from Los Angeles, California.
I'm from Guatemala.
And we, you know, made our way to Louisiana. And so I guess about 12 years ago, I was in IT sales. Can't actually fix any computers, but I can sell you some stuff. And Edgar was in HVAC. And at that point in time, there was, you know, a real strong influence in really in the world, right, in bringing technology into everything. So we actually had some combined ventures where we've, you know, spoke together, demonstrated together, you know, how infrastructure leads to what Edgar does in the application of IT on the other side. So Wi-Fi thermostats and that kind of stuff. So it was fun. Eventually I retired so he could, and there's big quotation marks, parentheses there. But so anyway, so Edgar could start his new venture in actually being an owner of an HVAC company.
So Edgar, tell us how you got your start in the heating and cooling industry. Like, what led you there?
Well, right after high school, I enlisted into the service in the Navy. And I've always been mechanically inclined. I like to fix things with my hands. When I signed up to go into the Navy, I requested to go into auto mechanic or airplane mechanic. And of course, that didn't happen. I got put in accounting, which was boring to me. And I did it for 4 years. When I got out of the service, I didn't want to keep doing that. So I started looking for a job in an auto mechanic industry. And nobody would hire me with no experience under my belt. And I found an ad for an HVAC company that was hiring maintenance techs or helpers. And I just showed up to the place and asked to speak to the owner and asked him to give me a chance and just got started from there. I literally just told him, I said, just give me 2 weeks. If you're not happy at the end of the 2 weeks, you let me go. And if I'm not happy, I'll just go and everybody's happy. I started doing it. I really liked the industry. I liked what I was doing. I'm not a people person, but I like being in front of one-to-one with a customer and create a relationship. And I really got into the HVAC industry and did it. I became a helper when I first started there. This happened in April. By the end of May, we were getting really busy that they just made me start doing service calls and really got into a lot of it. And I liked it so much that 2 years after, about a year and a half after, I put myself in school at night. I got my degree in refrigeration and air conditioning. And been doing it since then.
Gotcha.
That's awesome.
So how long were you with that company?
I worked for that company for roughly about 18 years. Had a lot of growth with them, a lot of learning. It was a great place to work. And eventually we moved to the North Shore and really wanted to get into doing my own thing. And, you know, I was doing really well at the company I used to work for, but it was time for me to move on and try to do what, you know, I think is right. And
do something on your own. I like that. All right. So let's talk about this really quick. Let's go back a little bit and let's talk about the two of you. So I know that we have something in common, that we all have boys. So tell me a little bit about your family and what you guys do with them and where they are and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. We do a lot.
I know. Y'all are very busy.
Yeah. So we have three boys, 18, 17 and a half, and we'll be 15 next Thursday. So we've gone through, just like you guys, every sport, every music instrument. They're very well-rounded children. We're, you know, proud of their accomplishments. Our oldest one has just made the dean's list at LSU and pretty hands-off. You know, we have to encourage him to go out and get some vitamin D instead of staying in his dorm and studying all the time. So we're on that spectrum of children. But yeah, so technically, between the two of us, we have no biological children. We have three adopted children, two genetically mine, one genetically his, but they've all been adopted between us. And that really throws people for a loop because they think they all look like Edgar. So it's really funny.
That is very funny. Well, we have adopted kids too, so that's another thing that we have in common. Absolutely. So I love that. Okay, so Edgar, you just kind of told us a little bit about your experience and the early working experience that you had. So let's talk about a little bit more about getting into the heating and cooling business, getting into HVAC. So you said that you went back to school and got a degree in refrigeration. So what kind of school did you go to and exactly how did that work?
So like I was saying earlier, I like the industry a lot for many reasons. You can't get bored with it. It's so much to do. We do it all. We do electrical, we do plumbing, mechanical, you name it, we do it. So I really wanted to, not that I needed it, but I really wanted, for my own sake, I wanted to have my diploma, my college diploma. So I enlisted myself at Delgado. They had, at that point, I don't know if they still do, because there's a lot of technical schools now, but they had the HVAC program. And so I enrolled in it, and it was a 2-year program. For HVAC and refrigeration certificate degree.
Was it something you were able to do at night, I'm assuming, or online, or how did that work?
At night. So I work every day from 7 to whenever we got off work.
Wow.
And at night I went to school.
Wow. Yeah. How many years did it take you to accomplish, to finish that?
Roughly about 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 2-year, it's an associate degree.
Okay. Gotcha. So I know you mentioned when you guys moved over here to the North Shore, you said it was time to start your own thing, but what was behind that? Like, what made you decide to take that leap of, you know, the security blanket of working for someone else? Now you're out on your own with all the risk and doing it, right? Like, what made you decide to take that leap?
Well, you know, my wife was was working for an IT company. We were both doing really good. Financially, we were stable. She had a really good job at the time. We had a few rental properties. And it was just the time. It was the right time. It was a lot of changes at the same time, moving to the North Shore, starting a new business, and being in a whole new community. And I guess one of the main reasons also was I didn't want to be in competition with the company I was working prior, but I wanted to start fresh and, you know, get new customers. And we had, you know, thankfully we were able to, you know, to do it. And
another big criteria were the kids. We were both being pulled in different directions and, you know, by somebody else's beck and call. And so we sat down in the kitchen and really made a tough decision because I loved my job and, you know, we were financially doing well. But we looked at the long road, you know, so we had kids who were saying, honestly, stop paying people to watch us. We want you. And so, you know, we looked at the longevity of my career, the longevity of, you know, starting a new business and put pen to paper. And really what made sense in, you know, 10, 15 years was to put our eggs in his basket and to continue on with that. So it was a tough decision because we had two amazing careers. You know, he had built, you know, almost 20 years of working with his company and had, you know, like you said, rental properties and was financially stable and insurance and 401k and all those things that, right, you know, come along with that. So it wasn't easy. It was painful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of the people that we've talked to, like just in kind of deciding who we wanted to bring on the show, you know, one of the big things that a lot of people are nervous about is losing that 401k, the health insurance, you know, I mean, that's even a consideration for us right now with Justin deciding whether or not he's going to leave his job to work for me full time with the Organized Social. It's hard because it's like, insurance is expensive. Right. You know, you're saving for retirement. There's all these things that go into it. So I love the transparency when people come in here and talk about that. It wasn't just this easy decision. It wasn't just like very simply that one day we were like, oh my gosh, we have so much money. We're just going to open this business and let's see if it does well. And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, who cares? Right. Like, you know, because that's not the situation that most people are in. Most people are, you know, this is a big decision for them.
Right.
Yeah. It's a big leap to, you know, like you said, with something we've talked about ourselves right now.
So. One of the things I really admired when Edgar first decided to take the venture was he kind of alluded to it, but he really wanted to make sure he did things the right way so that, you know, it was a clean break from his previous employer. But also in starting New Air, he wanted to make sure that he had every license in place, every insurance in place, every certification in place before he opened his doors. So it took months, you know, of studying for his state license and then just making sure all the checks and balances were in place. And a lot of times, you know, that doesn't happen. People don't have the opportunity or they don't take the time to do that hard pause before. And what we've found is, you know, being self-employed is painful. It comes with, you know, benefits, true, but it is absolutely painful. And you're wearing so many hats that those things can get, you know, left behind. So you'll have businesses that start up and say, oh, I'll start as a subcontractor and then go back and get my, you know, license, you know, eventually. That just never happens, you know.
Okay.
So that was one of the things I really did admire. It was well thought out, well planned, and it was a package. And because I was ready, it was like, okay, we're gonna open doors. Nope, we're not opening doors yet.
We've got things to do. Yeah.
So when you're talking about the process of starting your own business, so what all did it take? You mentioned, you know, the licenses.
Sorry, that's my diet. Sorry, I need a diet.
Like, that wasn't going to come through, Tiffany.
This is what makes our podcast exciting, is that...
Diet Coke.
Open your Diet Coke before we start.
I forgot. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted your train of thought.
Yes, you did. So, but what was that process? So you mentioned, you know, state certification. What all, for you starting it, what were the boxes that you said, we have to check these before we get going?
Yeah, so putting my notice on my previous job, I wanted to just leave clean and came home and talked to her about it. And I said, look, you know, I have to study. I have to get my license, insurance. And I literally sat at the kitchen counter with the little one, with Aiden, who was seven at the time, five. Him and I, he used to sit next to me and I was reading my HVAC books, codes, you know, for the cities and parishes. Things that you need to know about how things are done. And I study everything and I applied to the state to go take my my exam, my state license, and they approved it. And I went to the day I went to take my test, I was so excited. I called her and I was literally crying because I passed it. And it was just a big moment. And then from then on, as soon as I had my license, I got certified with all the vendors, all the distributors, different brands of equipment had to be certified. So I got certified with all of them and got insurance, got a truck, got a wrap. And I didn't want to just start just like that. I wanted to be done 100% right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I love that.
So did you start just yourself or did you hire an employee initially or what was that process like?
Initially, it was just me. A couple of weeks later, I did get a little helper, and we started growing from there. I trained him. He picked it up really quick, too. I trained him for about 6 months, and then we were able to hire somebody else and so on, and keep it growing.
That's awesome. So you were saying that when you went and opened New Air, that there were licensing, and then you had to get certified with the different companies. So if somebody's just coming into the HVAC world and they want to work for a company, what kind of licensing or certifications, apprenticeships should they have when they're coming into this? Or is this something that they can learn by experience?
Yeah, you definitely don't need anything per se to start in the industry. It is recommended for them to get EPA certified, it's Environmental Protection Agency certified, to be able to handle the refrigerants. But like myself, when I first started, I didn't have any certification or anything like that. I trained on the job and I learned doing the job. But again, I was very eager to learn, and I got my EPA certification right away and just kept getting certified in as many things as I could while I was working.
Right. So that's a process. I'm assuming that if you bring on someone to work for you guys that doesn't have any experience, you kind of help them along that path and say, here's what we suggest you do, and then provide those resources to help them along if they want to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, I love training new people. I like them to learn my way, and I think that's very important for them to learn how to do it the right way from the beginning, then doing it not the right way, and then having to fix it. So definitely training on the job is really a good thing. And once you start learning, you can see if you like it, and then you can get certified and you can go to school, you know,
instead just kind of backwards, right? Like most people are like, we're going to go to school and then we're going to go get a job, which is what we've been taught, you know, in some of our conversations in the past. Like, this is an opportunity to rethink that. You know, do you want to go spend your money on school if you don't even know if you like an industry? Like, you know, come check it out first.
Exactly.
And Edgar has said over the course of years, you know, he actually prefers people without experience, because a lot of times what they've been taught is the wrong thing, or, you know, to halfway do something. And so the opportunity to get somebody who hasn't had that, you know, barrier or layer is really what he's been looking for. And the young adults coming through, I'm saying adults because it's also a woman's industry too nowadays, kind of cool. But the young adults coming through the trade schools are getting book knowledge, maybe. They're not necessarily getting the hands-on, you know, everyday expertise. And so it doesn't really make a huge benefit in our industry to have that training. Really just common horse sense.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, because I think that was something that I worked. So I had a stint in the IT world too. I was a recruiter for an IT firm. And one of the things that I saw along the way is you would have these guys that would come in with, you know, $1 million college degrees that had done all of this stuff. And then you would have guys that had apprenticed under someone, you know, maybe their dad was a computer programmer, he had done something in IT, and they would hang around him, or they were taking some certification classes, and these guys were going into jobs making the same amount of money.
Right.
And I love that idea of sometimes you need to dip your toe in the water and like see if something's for you before you go and put the money into getting that degree, especially, you know, kids. I think about, like, I was very lucky that I have been able to use a lot of what I learned in college throughout the jobs that I've had. But there's a lot of people that are not in that situation. There are a lot of people that pay a lot of money for a college degree and then turn around and do something completely different, which is great that you have options. But I wish that there were a way to kind of figure that out ahead of time. So I like that idea of coming in and apprenticing, seeing if you like it, and then going to school.
Yeah, we've literally had these conversations with our kids. You know, my oldest, it's like, he's going to school for mechanical engineering. Do you know if you like that? At this point, at 18 years old, he's no clue. It's,
right.
You know, it's a number on a piece of paper that he's hoping to achieve. And so, you know, I've literally sat back and said, you can go start working somewhere, and then 4 years or 7 years, you guys might be in the same seat, whoever's decided to start working versus whoever decided to go get that degree. Because I've seen it, you know, same as you have. And we live in it, you know.
Right. So kind of get an understanding of what you did as far as the steps. But tell me a little bit about, because, you know, the other side of starting a business is, well, how did you finance it? So what was it like, you know, startup capital wise? How did you get there? What did you need? It kind of walk people through that.
Yeah. You know, like I said, thankfully we were very stable at that time. We didn't have to get any loans. I had a personal truck, which is what we started to use as a work truck. it's not an easy process per se, but it was a lot of hard work and determination. You know, my wife's support was, you know, huge. Her knowledge of IT and marketing and sales was a big help, because she knows how to do those things. I know how to work. I know how to fix things.
Right.
But having her by my side would, you know, help us get where we're at right now.
Yeah. So how did you get those initial customers? Like, what was that? You know, you said, okay, I got to go get customers. How did you make that happen? Like, what was that process like?
Basically, we started just bombarding as much as we could, social media. What was the next door?
Yeah, so I guess what happened originally was, you know, I was working a 60 plus hour job a week, and yes, I had all of this expertise, and he was like, all right, so let's just, you can do all this stuff. And I said, no, that's not how this works. You got to go find a resource. I think the big thing for New Air is that we didn't have, this isn't a company that was inherited from somebody else. We didn't have a lot of antiquated systems in place, and that really served to be a benefit, because we had to go source those things, and what we could source was what was latest and greatest. So if you needed a website, Denise wasn't going to build a website. I was going to go figure out who is an HVAC specific website builder. And it didn't matter to me if they were from Louisiana or if they were somebody's grandpa, you know, or whatever. We didn't have those ties. So literally the company that we used came from California. I was like, oh, this is great. Even better. And that's how each one of our business assets came into place. You know, Edgar had his way of doing things from his company, and it didn't always match in my IT world. There were things like that were necessary to have in place. Like, I couldn't do his accounting. So how do we figure out how to get your customers' information captured once and then pushed all the way through to an accounting program? And in my world, that was some software somewhere, software as a service. So what we did was we sliced off as service opportunities everywhere. The funny thing is, we were so concerned with building a brand, making sure that, you know, we had kind of a facade of sorts over a brand new company on the North Shore, because, you know, as we know, it's important that you have establishment here, you know, for your clientele. They want to know that you live here and that you work here and that you're not from the South Shore, you know, because right. They care. And so we had to make sure that we soothed all of that in our business structure. So we got really good at branding. And the funny thing is that people thought we were a franchise very early on. So then we were like, oh no, we're not a franchise. We're from Mandeville. And we had to go almost backwards in our plan, hire a local marketing company to facilitate this brand that people thought was now, you know, some national franchise. Like, oh my goodness. So yeah, it worked really well.
I was going to interject really quick that one of the things that I wanted to note was our last interview, and also y'all, I would say, are probably two of my favorite brandings in our city.
That's
so
awesome.
We had the pool guy on a couple of last week, and they are very, like, they're bright, those beachy colors.
Yeah.
And I always see their trucks on the road, and same with y'all. Like, I can cut the other day I was dropping my kid off in Carline. And I was like looking to the right, watching him going to school. And at the out of the corner of my eye, I saw a red and blue truck go by. And I was like, oh, it's New Air. So just know that I love your branding.
That's
too.
Awesome.
I love it.
It's really funny because we get pictures and videos all day long of our trucks. Like, people are so excited to see the trucks. They will literally just from their car send us a video. And they assume every driver is Edgar, which is really funny. And so we've had these conversations with people driving on like the causeway, and they're like, oh, you know, filming what they thought was Edgar, until the guy is like, oh, wait. And they're totally confused. So we have to literally train our employees just to wave when people start honking and videoing. And
oh,
it's
my gosh.
Like celebrity status.
That's
so funny.
Really funny. Okay, so let's talk about just you mastering kind of the field. So do you feel like you have mastered the field? How long did it take you to master the field? And how do you continue to grow?
I feel that I am really good at what I do. I wouldn't say I have mastered it because our field is changing every day. Every day is something new. So we always have to keep on top of everything. We always have to get recertified on new things, on new items that are coming out. This past year, the legislature changed the SEER rating, which is the efficiency on the equipment. So you can't have a certain point of it. This summer, they're going to change the refrigerant on the equipment, which is another change. And we had to learn about this new refrigerant.
Again?
How to deal with pressures, how to deal with temperatures. Because it's all chemicals and they all react different ways. So it's ever-changing. Technology is a huge factor in our industry now, because now we have all these Wi-Fi thermostats. Now we have communicating equipment, all this inverter equipment, which is really high-efficiency equipment. So all these things we have to keep learning, keep adapting. And it's there's no way that I can ever say I'm a master at it, because I'm still learning every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, one of the interesting parts about his industry is it has so many different components. Like, he's literally doing math and science and, you know, just everything that's wrapped into somebody else's profession is, you know, included in what he's doing. And it's unbelievable to watch. You know, I guess before introduction, always just kind of imagined it like a screwdriver, you know, tool pouches, but like, it's phenomenal the amount of intelligence that has to go into it. So it's hard to say that you could ever really master, because as soon as you feel good somewhere, they're going to bring something else along and it'll be ever changing.
Good. So I'm always interested when talking with business owners, what do you feel the biggest mistake you have ever made as a business owner? Or conversely, what would you do differently if you had to do it all over again?
I can't really say a mistake. I would say that I wasn't aware about the amount of time that it consumes to be a business owner. There's a lot of things that you have to put off. There's a lot of sacrifices that go with it. But I wouldn't say I wouldn't do it again. I would definitely do it again, because it's very rewarding in so many aspects. But I don't know if you can chime in on anything else, but I really wouldn't.
No, I think that's I think that's great. I mean, a very understandable thing that, you know, it is very time consuming. I think, you know, a lot of people think, even me, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, if I work for myself, like, I'm gonna have all this extra time. And then I just fill that extra time with more clients. Like, yes. So I get it.
Well,
yeah.
In y'all's case, you've become an HVAC celebrity. So it is very rewarding.
Yes.
So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. There's kind of cool things like that people don't think about that in the community that have come about too. Like, we have the opportunity to, you know, select who we're going to help as far as like fundraisers and boosters. And we really, you know, try to give back a lot to the community, which then has helped with child rearing, because everybody knows, like, you know, you said celebrity, everybody knows your kids, everybody knows, you know, your company. And they also have a different, you know, a preaching platform from the parents. It's because you can't misbehave, because we have a business that on the line too. So there's a lot of other strange benefits that come to being business owners too.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about New Air specifically. So we use you guys for our AC and heating needs at our house.
True,
and we've had wonderful experiences.
Which I've got a complaint with you. No, I'm just don't have
but that. We every time we've had any of your staff in our house, like, they've always been exceptional. So I feel like when you have exceptional staff, it really speaks to the heart of the company. So tell us, what makes New Air great? Like, what do you think makes your company kind of stand out from others?
I would say I always like to have conversations with my guys. We sit down and we talk about how to approach when you're driving. You know, you have to be respectful. When you go into a house, like, to me, it has always been this way, even when I work for somebody else. If I'm coming to your house, I'm going to respect your house. That's where you rest. That's where your kids are. You know, to me, one of the most important things is to respect your house, take care of your house. And I think the guys get it once I start talking to them, and they can see it. And we've we've always been able, you know, like we like to take care of our customers. We like to treat everybody right. You know, it's like I want to be treated. And when we first got our first customer in the North Shore, they were so happy when we showed up. We showed up on time. When we left everything clean. And they started telling everybody about us, you know. And I think that that's one of the biggest things, you know, that we always show up on time. We do what we say we're going to do. And we're going to always try to do it the best that we can.
Yeah. So what type of people are you looking for a new employee? What's most important to you?
Definitely somebody smart. common sense goes a long way. And like I said, you know, we can train people. I have been training technicians for 20 years. And we can train anybody, man or woman, to do what we do and do it right. We just need somebody that's determined to work, that has work ethics, that is going to show up and is not afraid of the heat because it's, our industry is hot. So somebody that can tolerate the heat, somebody that is, has really work ethics, really good work ethics, and can take care of our customers. You know, treat customers with respect and respect, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
No, I mean, it's
Denise, pass the ball to you. You take this.
It's a great financially rewarding opportunity. You know, somebody that's young, maybe doesn't have a specific direction, you know, grew up taking stuff apart, putting stuff together, but it provided a good living before the business got started. So this is absolutely a way that, you know, if you need a career opportunity and you're looking for something that is you know, going to be financially rewarding, it comes with full package of benefits, you know, for people to take advantage of it. It's odd that in our industry, people don't generally take advantage of them, but, you know, 401k, full amazing insurance. You know, we're a very family-oriented company. So, you know, we love the opportunity to get to know the employees, but also their families, and really make the opportunity, you know, holistic for them. So when you go home on the weekend, we've suffered through on calls every weekend and sacrificing, you know, kid time for work time. And so Edgar took all that into account when he decided what he was going to put together for an employee package. And it's, you know, yes, you're going to work hard, but you're going to make the money that's associated with that as well, and also have a good living and a good life. So,
right.
I love that. How many employees do you have now?
We currently have what?
Oh, I don't know. I guess we have, let's see, what, 7, 8 on paper. We don't actually have any office staff.
Oh,
we have,
wow.
Which is incredible. People don't actually believe that when they call, because what we've done, again, is we have a lot of as service providers. So our secretaries are as a service.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because that is very fascinating. And just like build is someone who is looking at building a business. So yes. Can you run us through that a little bit about how that works?
Yeah. So pretty much everything works that way. We've hired industry specific individuals that work for a much larger company. And we decided if we're going to put, you know, however X many dollars into one warm body sitting in our office, then we could put that into a service that is trained to answer the phone all day, every day, and have, you know, 20 Susies. So Susie number one gets sick, they roll over to Susie number two. It doesn't affect us at all. We you know, have scripts that are written for every situation that somebody can call in on. And sometimes they're ever, you know, they're changing. And also when we go on vacation, they change. You know, we can change the time frame for expected service, or, you know, whatever we need to say, they actually just say it for us. It's incredible. There's tons of those type of services, and there are services that actually will do the dispatching for you, you know, in conjunction with that. We don't do that because Edgar likes to have a connection with his customers right on. So he'll take the call as much as he can from the dispatcher. But everything that we do from there, everything's entered into an electronic service that sends out, you know, notifications that says, hey, Johnny's on his way. And then as soon as, you know, Johnny's done, the automatic service says, hey, leave a Google review. And you know, it's hysterical because the reviews that we get all say they showed up on time, they did what they said, and they were wonderful. And it's like, that is literally what we should be expecting in life. Yeah. But thank you.
But I think that's how it's supposed to work. People do not expect that from a lot of service providers. Right. So that really speaks like volumes to your business.
All came because Edgar was sitting for months at the countertop. We had the three little kids and I had a job, and we didn't have another way to facilitate that. You know, back to what we were talking about earlier, when it's not a company that was purchased from another company. So we didn't have, you know, somebody sitting at the front desk already. And a lot of times, you know, people think that they'll say, oh, I knocked on the door at New Air and nobody answered. Like, literally nobody's in that building. That building was purchased for two things. One is the sign out front, and two is the storage space. But usually not a manned building. I mean, the technicians are in and out and there's, you know, people there all the time, but no secretarial services.
Wow. Okay.
Perfect. Well, look, thank you guys for joining us today on this exploration of unconventional careers and trade jobs. If you've been inspired to forge your own path or explore new horizons, remember, success knows no limits.
So make sure to connect with Justin and I on social media so we can continue this conversation, share your stories, and stay updated on the latest of the world of alternative careers. You can find us at the Scope of Work podcast for all of our latest updates.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review if you enjoyed today's episode. Your feedback fuels our mission to showcase the diverse scope of work beyond the ordinary.
Until next time, keep working towards your extraordinary path. Stay inspired, stay curious, and keep redefining success.
This is Justin.
And this is Tiffany.
Signing off. See you next episode.
Thank you for joining us on this exploration of unconventional careers and trade jobs. If you've been inspired to forge your own path or explore new horizons, remember, success knows no limits.
Connect with us on social media to continue the conversation. Share your stories and stay updated on the latest in the world of alternative careers. Find us at the Organized Social Podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review if you've enjoyed today's episode. Your feedback fuels our mission to showcase diverse scopes of work beyond the ordinary.
Whether you're tightening bolts, crafting masterpieces, or building empires, remember, your journey matters and the possibilities are endless. This is The Scope of Work, where careers are not just jobs, but adventures waiting to unfold.